Hello, friends. Welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 200,000 listeners in over 80 countries. And as I stepped into the studio today, it lit up again. And I think it just lit up because we just got Simon Parks, live from England, on the line. We'll be going to Simon in just a minute, but during the first hour from 2 to 3 p.m. Seattle time, I'll be interviewing Simon live from England to talk about North Korea and all kinds of other amazing out-of-this-world topics. He'll also be taking questions on the air. We have a lot to ask him. To send Simon a question, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and time permitting, he'll be happy to answer any questions. During the second hour, from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific time, I'll be interviewing a wonderful lady named Carrie Cassidy. Carrie is a documentary filmmaker and investigative journalist and a well-known host of Project Cantaloupe TV. Her YouTube channel has over 58 million viewers worldwide and over 196,000 subscribers. She's an amazing lady, and I can't wait to have her on the second hour. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone's support so much for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by you, by donations. And for those who'd like to support the program, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I want to thank everyone so much for their support, especially the wonderful Crystal Spirit Spiritual Center in Tacoma, and Tom Palladino, a famous scalar energy healer from Florida. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 80 countries. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website, providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, my angelic and earthly family, and of course, both Eric's here at KKNW. Without their help and support, this program would not be possible. I'd like to ask everyone listening today to send lots of love and light to Samuel in Los Angeles today. He slipped and fell last night, bruising his ribs, and I know he'll appreciate your healing love and light. Also, please send lots of love and light to Luke's mother in Quebec. She has cancer, and I know that your prayers and love and light will really help her. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides, and if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me in the United States at 509-750-9793, or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. Also, if you missed my Galactic Wisdom Conference a few months ago, you can order the audios and some videos of the conference for just $97. If you're interested, just send me an email. Also, I wanted to tell you my next Galactic Conference will be held at the same location in beautiful Olympia, Washington, an hour south of Seattle, from April 12th to the 16th, 2019. The website for more information is www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And in addition, this summer, in just a couple of weeks, from July 2nd to the 8th and September 6th to the 11th, I'll be taking a small group of people to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth. I've been sponsoring trips to Mount Shasta and the Hollow Earth for the last 2 years, and it's an amazing and wonderful opportunity for people to visit the Hollow Earth. However, there's certain spiritual protocols that you should follow before going on the trip, and if you're interested in coming, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The cost is only $200, and it includes free dry camping on Mount Shasta right next to one of the several entrances to Telos and the Hollow Earth. We almost always see Sasquatch and UFOs flying in and out of the top of Mount Shasta. And one lady had an amazing healing experience last September when she went. She'd been crippled for decades, and the Sasquatch and the people of the Hollow Earth brought her aboard one of their extraterrestrial craft and healed her legs. This is a true story, and it's a bit of a long story, but I'll just say that, and many miracles happen on the trip. Next Saturday, a week from tomorrow, I'll be doing readings at the Boeing Employees Parapsychology Fair at the Kent Commons, and if you are in the area, please stop by. I would really enjoy meeting you. Also, on June 30th, Saturday, I'll be doing readings with Michiko Hayashi, the Modal Peace Project, at the Crystal Cove at 510 Southeast Old Arcadia Road in Shelton, Washington, near Olympia. And with that, I'd like to bring my good friend Simon Parks on from England. And Simon, how are you doing today?
Hello, Ted. I'm doing very well. Very nice to be back on. Oh, let me just turn my cell phone off. Very nice to be on the show. And, you know, always enjoy talking to you and to the listeners. And I think it's nice. Wonderful that you've got Kerry Cassidy coming on after me.
Yes, she is. She's a wonderful lady. And then I enjoyed talking to her so much. I did a pre-record last week that we ran over the time. And I said, Kerry, we'll just have a couple of shows with you. No problem. Oh, there's so wonderful. Much to say. So she's a wonderful lady. And you interview with her too, don't you, Simon?
Yes, she's over to Great Britain next month, and she's running a conference, and she's asked me and others to speak. So I'm going to be speaking at her conference in High Wycombe, Wake and Aware. That's north London. Mm-hmm. Done it for about 3 or 4 years now, so that's nice. And I do a couple of interviews, you know, where she gets me on her show from time to time. I find Kerry one of the very few researcher interviewers who's very strict. In other words, she doesn't let people get away with things when she's mm-hmm. doing her research interviews. Mm-hmm. If she hears something that's obviously wrong, she will challenge the person. And there are not many like that. Mm-hmm. So I've got a high regard for her. And I did actually say to somebody close to Kerry recently, I said to her, you know, I haven't actually disagreed with anything that Kerry said over the last 5, 6, 7 years. Mm-hmm. And this person sort of thought about it and said, actually, you're right. And yet we get our information from different sources. So I've got a lot of respect for her.
Well, she's a wonderful person, and she'll be coming actually to a conference here in the Olympia, Yelm, Seattle area at the end of July in Yelm, Washington. I'll be there. It's called the UFO Fest. And we're probably going to have lunch together when she's here. But I'm looking forward to meeting her, Simon, in person.
Well, please say hello to her from me, won't you?
I will. I sure will, Simon.
Thank you.
Yeah, she's a wonderful lady. And we went into lots of different areas on the interview. If you can, please listen during our next hour.
I'm going to.
Yeah, so it's going to be very interesting to bring her on. And I think I'd love to have her back again as a regular guest on the show too. So, well, Simon, it's been an amazing last couple of weeks, hasn't it? We've gotten President Trump and Kim Jong-un have been met in Singapore. They signed an agreement, and you have a post on your website, Dateline Tuesday, June 12th. Quote, as the doom merchants talked up World War III with North Korea in late 2017 and 2018, you stayed on the same tune, and they must feel kind of funny now, or maybe they don't feel anything. I don't know. It's hard to say.
I wasn't the only one, but I was one of the very few people right back. It was November of last year. It was past the fall. It was approaching Christmas. Mm-hmm. And the establishment were completely out of the loop. Trump really keeps the established media out of the loop. Mm-hmm. And of course, this is the first time in goodness knows how many years the media don't know how to handle this. They've always before sat down with previous presidents a day or a week beforehand, and they've agreed not just how they'll handle a story, but they have been told what the story will be. Mm. Now, with Trump, that's not the case. He'll do everything by Twitter. And so the media starts to implode on itself. And so the stories that were coming out back end of last year were literally that there was going to be a war, the South and the North were going to fight, and China was going to come in, and America would be involved, and it would be World War III.
Right.
And that leaks across into the social media, the alternative media, and so it was rife with that. Mm-hmm. So I basically said, no, that's not the case. They will sign an agreement. There will be peace. And, you know, that was proved right simply because the information that I was getting was accurate. It was not the information that was being generated by all these warmongers.
Sure.
So I'm. It's the first stage. There are going to be many signings,
mm-hmm.
But it's excellent. And here's the exciting news.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Think about all the people in the satanic element that don't like President Trump.
Oh yeah.
Well, it is likely that President Trump, if this plays out, it's not a done deal. If it plays out, it's likely that President Trump will be nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Right.
Now then, how is that going to be with people like Clinton and Obama? All these presidents who sat through one term of office, two terms of office, maybe more, who couldn't bring about peace, couldn't de-escalate nuclear weapons. Yet here is this man that three quarters of the established media attacked, who appears to be on the verge of bringing about peace in Korea.
Yeah.
Now that's what's excellent. Mm-hmm. So there are people now who are beginning to sit up and think, well, I might not like the man,
mm-hmm.
but hey, his policies seem to be working. So right. That I think is interesting, Ted.
Yeah, it's an amazing time. My spirit friends on the other side told me 2 years ago also, and I'm sure that your sources were telling you the same thing, Simon, years ago, that there wouldn't be any war with North Korea and that there would be a negotiated peace. And the military-industrial complex must be pretty foolish right now because I think they actually tried to get us into war with Russia, too, the last couple of years, but that's failed as well because we're not going to war with Russia either, thank goodness.
Yes, I think they wanted that. They wanted a war with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
They'll want a war with just about anybody. I guess the warehouses are filling up with bombs and there's no more room. So let's drop a few.
Right.
Let's make some space and then we can go and buy some more.
Right.
Let me just talk a little bit about Europe.
Okay.
In Italy, we've just had the Bilderberger annual conference.
Oh, okay.
The Bilderbergers travel from one country to another. They've been in Great Britain, they go around the world, they've been Italy. Normally they talk about business, corporations, the presidents and prime ministers and how they can influence those people to further their business interests.
Right.
And what was interesting, people talk about the Mandela effect.
Oh,
I actually thought Henry Kissinger was dead, but no, he's not dead. He's still going strong, and he chaired the meeting. I mean, that man must be nearly 100. If I lived to be as old as Henry Kissinger, I would have done very well. So Henry Kissinger apparently is alive and kicking, mm-hmm. and he chaired the Bilderberger meeting. Now, what is unusual here is for the first time, the Vatican was requested to send a representative. I don't know the guy's name. He was a cardinal,
mm-hmm.
and he turned up. Now, the reason they wanted the Vatican to be represented, that's the first time, because bear in mind, Bilderberger is a money organization. It's not political.
Sure.
But they are so concerned about their financial position, mm-hmm. they wanted the Vatican in. And one of the topics, I haven't got the agenda item in front of me, so I'm paraphrase.
Mm-hmm.
One of the agenda items was the fact that they're losing control of the world. They are losing control of humanity.
Well, my goodness.
And they wanted the Pope there, not the Pope, the Pope's envoy, because the Vatican is one of the key pieces of the control network. Mm-hmm. And so it was such a high level that he had to be there representing the Pope. So that I thought was very interesting. Quickly then, moving on a little bit, your country, good old US of A, and my country, the old country, Great Britain, mm-hmm. politically take a holiday in August.
Mm-hmm.
It's traditional.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody goes on holiday.
Sure.
Not this time for you guys. The White House is going to stay open. Skeleton staff, but they've going to work through the holiday period because they're going to swear in the federal judges, the high court judges.
How interesting.
And President Trump has insisted that they don't delay it. So they don't have to wait for the holiday period to come over. They're going to run the House is going to sit, they're going to run through and make sure that these judges are legally sworn in. Now, that's really important mm-hmm. because of the signed indictments. There are over 30,000 now, and they've been waiting for these judges to come in. So that, again, is a very important point. Mm-hmm. I am hearing, and it's only unofficial, I am hearing that people are just starting to be getting the knock on the door. So not a formal arrest, but a knock on the door, possibly taking away a passport, saying, you know, you've got to stay within 5 miles of your place of work, et cetera, et cetera. So even though my understanding is these indictments are not being opened, there are a number of people who are being told that they're not allowed to leave the US. Now, that's unconfirmed, but I'm hearing that. Okay, let me quickly move on. President Trump did meet the president of Italy. He's also met the president of France as well. And in a chat, he was asked to support Europe more because the main enemy was China. Mm. This is the Italian president, mm-hmm. basically saying that, look, the big enemy is China. And, you know, would you please be more supportive? We're talking about the trade war. Mm-hmm. Now, I've got two versions. President Trump apparently turned around and said, look, the European Union is more evil than China. The other thing I've been told is that the European Union is worse than China. Mm-hmm. But in other words, President Trump is not going to play ball and is not going to weaken the trade war with Europe because he believes that the people in charge of Europe are pretty negative. And so he's doing that. So it's very exciting at the moment. There seems to be quite a swing back towards the powers of light and love. Mm-hmm. Okay, it'll swing either way, but at the moment I'm feeling pretty good about things.
Simon, in my own life, I came here 52,000 years ago, and it's been 720 lifetimes. That's how long I've been waiting for this moment. Oh. So it's been a long time coming, and be more precise, actually, it also stemmed from Atlantis during the Atlantean times. Just before that civilization imploded upon itself, I and other light workers way back then, 12,500 years ago, tried to turn things around, but we failed. And many of those spirits, I'm told, Simon, are out doing their thing again today. But the difference is that, the big difference is that many of those spirits back then who made a wrong choice are making right choices now to help humanity ascend. And we're getting help off planet too, and from the Supreme Being, the Creator, God, if you will. The vibrations of the planet are rising, and this time it's going to be different. This time we are going to win. It's going to be a very different, a beautiful outcome, because this planet, I think, is destined to become a far better and happier planet. We don't need to be fighting. We don't need to be in misery. It's destiny, this planet. It's my firm belief, Simon, that we're meant to live in peace and harmony with each other and create a beautiful, happy world. I mean, I know that sounds terribly idealistic, but that's the way I am, and that's how I look at the future.
Well, look, Hollywood usually ends with the sun setting and the happy couple walking off into the sunset. And why can't we have the same ending?
Right.
I think the important thing from a practical point of view or a realistic point of view is to say, why would anybody go to such a heck of a trouble to build the most complicated planet, the most beautiful planet, create all that just to see it be destroyed? Mm-hmm. That's not what happens. You wouldn't invest so much, I could say money, because we don't have that off this planet, but so much time and energy into the creation of a human race just for them to either destroy themselves or for someone to come along and destroy them. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
That's not going to happen. And that's why I'm quite fervent about this. You know, I don't believe that 75% of the human race will be wiped out by the mad Illuminati. Mm-hmm. I don't believe there'll be a tidal wave that'll destroy half of America. I don't believe there'll be a nuclear war. I don't believe there'll be an earthquake that destroys half of America. Mm-hmm. They may well be natural disasters,
sure,
but they will be small, localized events.
Right.
The one in China wasn't a local, that was a man-made, I beg your pardon, Japan, that was a man-made event, but look how help came in to contain that issue.
Oh, yeah.
So what I'm saying to people is, as we approach these important months ahead, watch out for more and more people talking about the end of the world. Mm. We had it in 2000, mm-hmm. and expect to see it again. False prophets, false gods, the end of the world. And I'm afraid it's all nonsense. It's all nonsense. And I do agree with you, Ted. We're not idealistic hippies right. sitting around smoking pot and wishing the world well.
Right.
We're actually saying the facts of the matter are mm-hmm. that the cabal, who have controlled this planet since the flood and beyond, they're finished. That it's just a natural running out of time. The time allotted to them mm-hmm. is naturally running out. And it's not just our learning journey, it's their learning journey. Mm-hmm. They were put in that position of power so they could learn. Mm-hmm. And now that key phase is about to swap and change over. And this is why it's a pretty good time to be here. So I do agree with you, Ted. I have no concerns or worries about impending disaster. I just think we're going to have a good time.
I have to tell you a little story. It's a true story, Simon. I used to listen to Art Bell when he was on Coast to Coast many years ago. And back in 1999, I mean, he was well-meaning. He had a good show. But back in 99, mm-hmm. all he could talk about was doom and gloom and how the mm-hmm. world would basically end on January 1st, 2000. Mm-hmm. So I believed him. And so what I did is I ended up buying a house way out in the middle of the forest, out in the middle of nowhere. And I've been traveling, and I came back from a long trip, and I came back to my place on December 31st, 1999. And you know what happened the next morning? I woke up.
The sun came up.
The sun came up. The TV still worked. The radio still worked. The electricity, I flicked the lights on, and I was able to make a hot cup of coffee. Everything was the same. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And then all my spirit, because then I bought several thousand dollars worth of food, thinking that Art Bell had talked about the end of the world and food shortages. So I ended up giving the food away to food banks, and it was a lesson for me. And now if people talk about, or when they do, Simon, talk about the end of the world, I take it with a big grain of salt. So they're, of course, welcome to their opinion, and I wish them well, but I don't see the end of the world. I really don't.
No. We wouldn't. I do believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in the God of the pulpit,
mm-hmm.
But I do believe in a God. And I certainly believe in off-planet entities. And
sure.
Why would they want to see the destruction of something which is absolutely amazing? They wouldn't.
Right.
If they're prepared to fly 100 trillion, trillion, trillion miles mm-hmm. to come and visit us,
right.
They certainly would be prepared to intervene and to do things that they needed to keep the holiday resort ticking over.
Sure.
So what I'm saying is that there will be times in the future now where people are going to start talking up the end of the world scenario. That's going to come, I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
We saw it last year. Right. There was a big push to try to talk about revelation and
mm-hmm.
The stars in the sky, and there was a confluence. It's true, mm-hmm. there were a number of stars which did match the pattern, but there again, you see the satanic element coming out, trying to talk about destruction and the end of the world. So, it's not going to happen. It really isn't. There will be problems and there will be issues, but that's not the pattern. And I just want people to understand that there are certain people, I don't understand why, who have an agenda to destabilize and to talk about death and destruction. They get a kick out of it. And I honestly think that's a waste of their time. They should, you know, be more profitable and, you know, do more good things. So I'm happy to be on your radio show, Ted, because you and I share the same vision, which is based on hard reality.
Thanks.
This planet has been here for millions of years.
Right.
And will continue to be here for millions of years.
Right. I agree with you completely, Simon. One thing this fits in some other topics, but I want to run it by you briefly. And I've been told this, too, that as the vibrations of this planet go higher and higher, and you said the Kabbalah is finished and their time is running out, the time is running out, isn't it, also for the reptilians and other negative extraterrestrials who've been here manipulating human behavior?
Yes.
Okay.
And they know it.
Good.
That's the problem, mm-hmm. because they know it, but they won't face it. For people who have never experienced the reptilians, in other words, for people who have never stood, you can't stay eye to eye because they're somewhat taller.
Right.
But for those who've only ever read about them and read about them from third-hand sources or fourth or fifth-hand sources that may or may not be accurate,
mm-hmm.
I can tell you that they are fearful. They are actually fearful. They're fearful of what they cannot see and what they cannot control.
Mm-hmm.
There are beings that evolve to a point where they fear what they cannot manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking into the future, and they can do that to a certain extent,
mm-hmm.
and they foresee a time in a world that doesn't need them,
yeah.
doesn't need them in the guise or the position that they are now.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that it will need them is if they change to something different than they are at the moment. And it's that inability to make the leap of faith to make that change. And that's what's holding them up. And so unless they make that change, they will become prisoners within a dimension, well, within a dimension, within a dimension,
mm-hmm.
a sub-dimension of the fourth. And it'll be very hard for them to get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So with those people now hunkering down, battening down the hatches, the human elite are not getting the instructions from on high that they've always done. And so they're becoming a loose cannon, as we say in Britain. They're running around without instructions, doing their own thing. This is the breakdown of the control system. And that's what we're seeing. So there is no chance of any negative off-planet alien evolving unless they're prepared to make that change.
Interesting, interesting. Well, we've talked about this before, but like the conversations I have, I know lots of psychics, and I get lots of information all the time, Simon. And one of the bits of information I got recently was discussing the attacks in the Emoto office in Tokyo. And as it turns out, two independent sources told me the same thing, that the attacks actually come from several AI reptilians in China. But it makes sense. They don't want the vibrations of the planet to go higher. But as the vibrations go higher, they have nowhere to go, and they'll have to leave eventually. I remember you said by the end of 2019 that the vibrations would go much higher. And I look at actually in that vein, the Chinese government becoming far more democratic than it is now. And once those negative elements are gone or removed, I see a democracy, a true democracy, actually developing in China, which would be very nice for the Chinese people.
I think we've got some proof of that.
Mm-hmm.
North Korea would never have come to the debating table unless China had said to them, which they did last November,
mm-hmm.
We're not going to bankroll you anymore. So the moment that China said to North Korea, you're on your own,
mm-hmm.
That was the moment that North Korea had to do a deal with President Trump.
Wow.
Now, the fact that China did that
right.
shows me that China is changing its whole stance. Yes, the Chinese want to be economically number one.
Right.
But they also realize in order to do so, they've got to engage in a different way than they have now.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a step towards democracy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and I think we'll see more of those positive changes happening as well. I wanted to tell you that news of these arrests that you mentioned earlier is coming out a little bit here in the media. I'll read you. This is from Charlie in Lakewood, Washington. He sent me this yesterday. This is from mainstream NBC news station here in Seattle, and it's actually from that and also James Gillian. This is his newsletter. I'll read this parts of it. Quote,
thank you.
This is from a mainstream source. Authorities, quote, say 47 people in Washington state were arrested as part of a nationwide operation to identify those who produce, trade, and view online images and videos of children being sexually assaulted. The Seattle Times, which is another mainstream paper here in Seattle, reports more than 2,300 people were arrested across the country as part of an operation called Operation Broken Heart, the Department of Justice announced Tuesday. It's a three-month operation ending in May, and there's more to come. So it's coming out a little bit now in the media. If you pay attention, you can see it. You can get the news here.
That's excellent.
Yeah,
that's excellent. That's actually, it's interesting because I hadn't heard that from that source. I'd heard it from a separate source. And so that is actually corroborating. That says that that's definitely happening.
Okay, I will send you the links later today.
Thank you. That would be very helpful.
Sure, I'll be happy to send that to you. But that's coming out. There was actually on the mainstream television station, I can't remember which, I think it was Fox News, 2 days ago here out of Seattle, they had a one of these little streamers at the bottom of the television screen that said that thousands have been arrested across the country for sex crimes against children. And my friend said he saw it, it was there, and then it disappeared. And then the next day it was there again. So it's coming out, finally. And
what's interesting is that many of these charges mm-hmm. will be of a lesser nature in terms of what they're putting across.
Mm-hmm.
There's a politics here going on,
mm-hmm.
but it's expected that a lot of these people will be able to come up with other names. And so they could work their way back through it. So what's being got is not the top players. What I want to tell the listeners is what's been taken out is the grassroots organizers, the troops on the ground, the people who do all the dirty dealing in the motel rooms on the ground floor. These are the ones that are being hit. So the operation mm-hmm. has been taken out, and mm-hmm. it's been taken out from the ground upwards.
Wow.
And that's deliberate to put pressure as it goes up the chain of command.
Mm-hmm.
So it puts pressure on for people to, you know, break ranks and you know, turn evidence. That's very, very interesting. Thank you for sharing that with me, Ted.
Yeah, and as I get more as more stories come out here, Simon, I'll be happy to send you the links and things that you're not aware of there. I'll be happy happy to do that. We've had a bunch of questions. First off, I'd like to go. Is it okay to give you some questions now?
Yes, please. I like your questions, Ted. Your audience are great.
Okay, thank you so much. This is from Karen in Redding, California. She writes, I won't read the whole thing. It's a long email, but I'll read the pertinent parts. Hello, Ted. It's so wonderful to have Simon, you, and your radio show in my life. And then she writes, I'm not familiar with this, but maybe you know something, Simon. Could you please ask Simon about the activist Tommy Robinson and the movement against extremism to silence free speech under the guise of racism?
Right.
I don't know.
I'm happy to talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, please.
I just did my little podcast today,
mm-hmm.
Just before this show, and I actually did have to address it on my podcast, because it's quite a point. okay. There's an awful lot in the media, and there are some people who should know better standing up for this guy. They're saying that Tommy Robinson is a hero, that he's been arrested, which he has, by the system, and he was trying to expose paedophilia, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Tommy Robinson is not his real name. He was actually born Stephen Yaxley Lennon. He has four or five other aliases. And the real truth here is that a Muslim, supposedly, I don't quite know the ins and outs of it, but a Muslim gang were into child trafficking. And what this Tommy Robinson, or really Stephen Yaxley Lennon, did was, while the court was in session, he stood on the steps of the court and tried to interview witnesses as they were going in to testify. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're in Great Britain or America, that's illegal, because a whole court case can collapse if one of the guys who's going to give a witness statement in front of a court starts talking outside. So the reason that this guy, Tommy Robinson, was put in prison for 12 months was because he tried to interview witnesses outside the court. And in fact, actually, he came into the court building and started to talk to these people as they were waiting to be called in to see the judge. Hmm. That is why he went to prison. Now, there may be people out there, Ted, who say, well, look, he was trying to uncover paedophilia, so we're happy with that. What I'm going to tell you, you can't be happy with. In 2005, actually, it was the 18th of April 2005, members of the public called the police because Tommy Robinson was punching and kicking his girlfriend viciously.
Oh, my goodness.
His girlfriend was actually called Jenna Vowles, V-O-W-L-E-S. Mm-hmm. The first police officer on the scene tried to get between Tommy Robinson and Jenna, and he was punched and kicked.
Wow.
So eventually they arrested Tommy Robinson, who did 12 months in prison. This is separate to this. This is back in 2005. He was sent to jail, prison rather, for 12 months for violently beating on his girlfriend and a further 3 months for attacking a police officer. So whether you think Tommy Robinson, I don't mean you, Ted, I'm talking to the audience, whether you think he was right to do what he did in front of the court, that's up to you.
Okay.
But you cannot think it's right for him to attack his girlfriend physically, to punch and kick her. So I sent a message to all of my coordinators in Connecting Consciousness saying that we were not going to be associated with the campaign for Tommy Robinson. As far as we're concerned, he's in prison for a very good reason. We don't condone violence against women. And as a result of that, the other thing is that Tommy Robinson was a member of the British National Party, which is a far-right extremist party. He formed the EDL, the English Defence League, which is also a far-right political party. He's well known to British police and he's well known to the police on Europe because he was one of those football hooligans at Luton Town.
Mm.
So I hope that answers the question. And really and truly, anybody who's standing up for him hasn't read the facts. And there's all a public record. It's all there. And people should shut up before they make real fools of themselves. You don't align yourself with a man that beats a woman in public. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. All right. Thank you for explaining that.
Pleasure.
Simon,
pleasure.
I didn't know anything about it. Here's a question from Eddie in Beijing, China. And he writes, he's in Beijing, a good man. Hi, Simon. I've been following your shows for years. Much gratitude for your efforts to free humanity. My question, in South Korea, many parents of the over 300 students that went down with the ship now believe the Korean government deliberately sacrificed the students. There was no rescue effort for 72 hours, yet the Korean media and government lied about using all the resources to save lives. Many links were found about a religious cult, etc. What can you tell us about that tragedy?
I tried to dig into this myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It seemed to me that there was not a very good rescue effort.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what originally attracted my attention. I tried to get a list of who was on the boat, but couldn't get a list. I don't speak the language, I'm afraid. I'm just speaking English, so it was very hard.
Sure.
My understanding was that there were a number of key individuals on that boat who had set up some form of organization, set up some sort of group. I don't know much about it, but set up a group. And it may have been that the teachings of this group were seen as very, very anti the present government in Korea.
Mm.
And there is a suspicion, therefore, that something occurred. I haven't got any more information and I haven't checked it with any of my other sources because it's a localized event.
Sure.
That doesn't mean that it doesn't matter, but it's not worldwide shattering, but it's obviously shattering for friends and family of the situation there. But my understanding was that there was a group of people who had formed some sort of organization that the government of the day felt was threatening, and therefore there's something gone on. That's all I know. But okay. It may well be that means something to Eddie. He may think, right, okay, Simon's about right on that.
Sure, sure. Okay, thanks for explaining that, Simon. Okay. We have another, this is a recent, something happened, I believe it was last week before, Anthony Bourdain. He's quite well known here in the United States. He does a lot of travel programs. The police said that they found him. They found him in his home and apparently committed suicide. But his mom is now coming out saying that her son would have never committed suicide. He had a good life, and there are allegations that the Clintons may have had something to do with his recent death. I don't know what the truth is, but
right. I've also, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you, Ted.
That's okay.
I'm also been looking into this one.
Okay.
People are being very guarded over this. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to get information out. What I can tell you is that he may not be right to say he stumbled upon a piece of information, but let's just use that. He stumbled upon a piece of information which was dynamite, and I don't know whether he was going to go further with that or whether he was going to sit on it. Mm-hmm. But my understanding was that unintentionally, through part of his travels to who he was talking to, he was given some information which compromised some of the highest people in the land. Mm. So make of that what you will.
Okay. All right. That explains it. Recently, there was the 50-year anniversary of the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy, who probably would have become president. He'd won the California primary in June of 1968. And his son, RFK Jr., said that he thought Sirhan, he visited him recently in prison, and he thought he didn't do it. And what's interesting, I did some research on this prompting of my spirit friends, and I've talked to Robert F. Kennedy on the other side. Part of what he told me is in my book, Messages from the Masters, and he told me that Sirhan was mind controlled, and that he did fire Sirhan. He was given a code word by a lady in a pink polka dotted dress, which caused him to start firing, but Sirhan was in front of Robert F. Kennedy, Senator Kennedy, and the real bullet that killed him was from the back of the neck, which was fired, according to Senator Kennedy, from a CIA agent, which had been hired the day before to provide security. He just walked up, calmly shot him in the back of the neck, left, and the guy's lived in the Philippines ever since under a government pension. That's what I've heard. That's what I've been told. So I would be interested in your comments, what you think.
Right. The tragedy that seemed to follow that family, mm-hmm. I know for a fact that British intelligence, mm-hmm. It's funny, obviously, the main murder, but British intelligence spilt more ink and debate over the situation at Chappaquiddick Bridge, mm-hmm. than over anything else. Mm. Now, that was the incident that... I don't fully understand why, but British intelligence were not involved in it.
Right.
But they seemed to want to be involved in it after the event. They wanted to get all the information out of it. They felt that there was something that wasn't available, wasn't coming forward. Mm-hmm. And if you look at what's happened around that family,
right.
I think what we can say is that when a very special family incarnate on the planet with one intention and one intention only, which is to take humanity by the scruff of the neck, give it a good shake and say, right, this is how we should do it. This is how we're going to do this. This is the right way to do it. You know, you need to wake up because you've been tricked and lied to. When that happens, the system can do two things. It can either say, yep, okay, we've had a good old time. you take over now, or they can say, we're not accepting that. And of course, the system said, we're not accepting it. So you would try and either take out or control that family. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happened there. Don't just think of one person. That whole family, to a certain extent, came here to try to make change. Now, some of them didn't follow through. Some of them sort of went off the path a little bit. But all of that family were a threat to the status quo.
Sure.
And that's really what's gone on. Don't be surprised with anything around that family. You know, they were really targeted.
Yeah. It's been it's been one thing after the other for the Kennedy family, and it's been tragic. Even with I know that there was the son of what John F. Kennedy died in a mysterious plane crash here a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And the stories that I had been told was that he had been thinking of running as a U.S. senator for the state of New York, which is the same position that Hillary Clinton wanted to run for.
Yes.
And then he dies in this, I'm not making any accusations, but then he dies in this mysterious plane crash. And then she runs for the Senate and wins the New York, wins the Senate seat in New York. So,
Ted, what generally happens is that your audience may not be fully aware of it, but what tends to happen is that a potential senator or a congressman decides or gets invited to run for a place, a seat. Mm-hmm. And when that's incompatible with decisions that have already been made in a very private place, they will always come to that person first and ask them to reconsider. Mm. And they will make some sort of offer. It could be money. It could be, you know, next year we'll do this for you, or blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. And I understand in his case that he was made an offer and he declined it. So I know for a fact from these people that once they've made the offer, they say, well, we gave them every chance. We made them an offer, good offer. They haven't taken it. So what do they expect?
An offer of what? Of money or other positions if he doesn't run? Is that?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what tends to happen is that most of these big players that are established have a trust fund, or they have a charity or something like that. And so what they would tend to do is to say, we'll make a donation to your fund, or, you know, we'll do something like that, mm-hmm. rather than give the person money themselves. Mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, they don't need money themselves. But the other one they do often is, well, look, you know, the president would want you to be his special envoy to X, Y, or Z, mm-hmm. or the president is needing this or that, and, you know, we will put you forward. And it's like, what do we say in Great Britain? Jam tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So you do what we tell you now, and then you get the rewards tomorrow. Well, some people aren't prepared to wait. They'll say, no, I don't trust you. I don't think you'll do that.
Right.
I want to do this. Mm-hmm. And then the elite say, well, we gave them an offer. Right. They didn't take it. So this is what happens to those people who turn us down.
I see. So it's a warning to others, in other words.
Yes, I mean, when the mafia do exactly the same thing, what they'll look at something and they'll say, is there more value in dropping someone into the sea and the effect it has on everyone else, or the damage that we do to that individual in terms of what we lose is too great? And often they'll actually target somebody and do what they do because it brings everyone else into line.
Oh, I see.
So that's the thinking they often have. They'll think, well, look, we've lost someone who could have been very handy to us, very helpful, mm-hmm. senior government official who in the next 20, 30 years could be very, very helpful to us.
Sure.
But we get rid of him because there are 10 other people who we are working with, and they're various stages of development. And over the next 10 or 20 years, they'll reach up to high positions. So if we make an example of this person now, it keeps the other 10 or 20 people in line. And that's often the way they think about things.
I see. Interesting. Wow, that's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Simon, for sharing that.
Sure.
That's a perspective that...
Well, I'm sorry it's not a nice thing to share with you,
right,
but that's... that's the way it is. But Ted, sure. when we come to end our show, we always end on a good note anyway. So yeah. we get the bad stuff over with now, hey?
Okay, yeah, we're that's right. That's right. So tell us something good coming up for humanity.
I think that this will be a very special Christmas, actually. Mm-hmm. I think this will be a very interesting Christmas. The last 10, 15, possibly 20 years, let's all be honest, ladies and gentlemen, mm-hmm. most of us have just gone through the motions. It's right. Christmas. We're losing that enthusiasm. We're losing that excitement. And what do we say? We say Christmas is for the kids. Mm-hmm. And we like to stand there and watch the kids open their presents. And that's the fun enjoyment we get out of it. And our hearts drop when we've got to go to the shopping mall and we've got to fight our way through people and there's glitter right. and paper and it's all. I think we're going to have what we call a renaissance. We're going to go back. And I'm not talking about Jesus. What I'm talking about is right. remembering the spirit of Christmas. If you actually cut away all of the corporational glitter and sparkly paper,
right.
Christmas should be a time for loving not just your family, but learning to love others. It should be a time for not turning your back on poverty, but actually recognizing that you have a role to play in trying to help in whatever way you can. So I'm looking forward to this Christmas because I think there will be more spiritual awakening in people, a rejection of the plastic, fake excitement of Christmas, and really drilling down to the message of Christmas, which basically is it's a time to understand that what we are supposed to feel over those magical days, the 25th of December and the 26th of December, we should have all of the other days of the year. So the fact that we're aware of poverty or we feel a bit guilty if we don't give a few coins to someone who's down and out, and we do it because it's Christmas, but it's perfectly okay not to do it any other time of the year, that's got to change. And people have got to have compassion and caring 365 days of the year, not just because it's Christmas. And I think we're going to start seeing this return to humanity.
Well, won't that be wonderful? And I think with the rising vibration of the planet, Simon, that's going to happen. And you really hit a chord, too, because so many times I've heard people at Christmas here in the United States saying, oh, I'm glad it's over with. It's just for the kids. But they need to incorporate Christmas throughout the year of loving and giving and treating each other and humanity with love and respect.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally agree.
Absolutely.
Hey, well, I think we've got some time for some more questions, Ted. Have we got another? Can we get another one in quick?
Let me look really fast to see if anything has come in.
A quick, easy question, maybe.
Yeah. Let me look real quick.
Or are they all long ones?
Here's one, actually, along the lines of RFK, the Kennedy family. When will the truth come out for the John F. Kennedy assassination? I don't believe. He writes, I don't believe that there was a lone gunman that killed President Kennedy either. I think there was a conspiracy with his assassination as well as his brother as well.
These truths are going to be some of the last to come out mm-hmm. simply because there are still people alive who can be traced an involvement in it. Mm-hmm. And it's like the 9/11 situation.
Sure.
As long as there are a paper trail, as long as there's a connection to people who are still in office, mm-hmm. they'll be the last. So it will come out, but it'll be one of the last ones. Yes.
Hmm. I know that President Trump was supposed to release all these documents on the Kennedy assassination, last October, November? But the documents he did release... many of them were redacted, and there wasn't really much new information in the documents. And then he held back the rest of them, saying that he would release it later, and later now is what 6 or 8 months later? So I don't know. It's hard to tell.
I think, well, I know mm-hmm. that if you think of the Second World War, your country and my country mm-hmm. were fighting with other countries as well against Nazi oppression.
Right.
And the Germans were fighting on a two-front war. They were fighting the Russians in the east and the Allies in the west. And Germany was defeated because it was fighting two enemies at once.
That's right.
President Trump can't afford to fight multiple wars. He has decided it's going to go for the child trafficking and the satanic element. All the other things will come out afterwards.
Sure. Simon, I'm so sorry, my friend. We just ran out of time, but thank you so much for coming on today, my friend. I hope you have a
God
wonderful
bless.
And happy day. Thank you again so much.